Turn with me in your Bible tonight to Romans chapter 5. Okay, I want to ask a question before I start. How many have in this assembly tonight have read at least the first two chapters of Jim Berg's book called Changed Into His Image? Okay, good. Tell me, what is the main message? I think it's the first chapter. But what is the main message? Is it the first chapter or the second chapter? Sinful nature. It is a theology of the sinful nature. The basis of that book, the basis of his exposition on change and changing into his image, really starts with the most unthought of or uncalculated doctrine. And I believe I remember reading Jim Berg's book, that chapter on the sinful nature. And I couldn't help but leave that, say, you know, this is in Christianity today one of the most neglected doctrines out there. Maybe not most neglected, but certainly the most uncalculated doctrine. Now, how would I say that? I would say that most of us don't think or calculate in our thinking what we are in Adam. Now, who can I pick on? I guess I'm going to pick on Jacob. You know, Jacob, it may be one of these days, sometime probably in the future, you're going to get married. And if you're not ready to get married, you're probably in the Bachelor to Rapture Club. But if you're... you get married and you have children, there's something that you're going to learn. You are going to learn something that you could have learned from the Bible, but you're going to learn something about yourself that will give you a real picture of who you are. That is, someday you're going to, if you have children, you will have children, and they will have a sinful nature. And you will see and experience the realities of the sinful nature like you have never considered them in your own life. Because we really don't see ourselves as that bad. We don't really see ourselves as sinners. But we are. The Bible says in Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death hath passed upon all men, for all have sinned. In this simple verse in the Bible, we have the fact of the inheritance that we have in Adam. For as by one man, sin entered into the world. We're all in Adam, all die. But this verse speaks of the inheritance that we have in Adam. We're born sinners. We're born with a sinful nature. David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. It is inherited. It's also, though, this verse tells us that we are responsible. All have sinned. We were in Adam with him. We were in Adam with him in the garden. And through Adam, we have inherited a sinful nature. And that sinful nature is natural. It's natural. It's who we are. That's who we are. We're sinners. You know, there is a scary reality when someone says, this is what I think. The question is, where is that thinking coming from? You know, we talk like that, as though whatever we think, I mean, that's right. Just because it comes natural, is obviously must be right. And so a young person says, this is what I think. And they are convinced that what they think is right. And just because they thought it, it's right. And now that they said it is for sure right. What isn't in the formula? I guarantee you, what isn't in the formula most of the time? You know what's not in the formula? That person doesn't think, I am born a sinner. I am born with a sinful nature. The sinful nature has darkened every part of my being. We don't like to think that way, do we? In Ephesians chapter 4, a couple interesting verses. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. That's how they think. The emptiness of their mind. Their mind thinking in an empty way. Having the understanding darkened. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Because of the blindness of their heart. Now, we talk about the sinful nature. You know, we're not only going to, young person, you're not only going to discover the sinful nature when you have children. And you'll discover it because you'll find a little 9-month-old deciding to take a swat at mama. As though mama needs correction. And who is mama to correct me? And I'm going to take care of her. 9-month-old. You're going to find sinful nature. You're going to see the sinful nature in a little child. And you're going to say no. And you're going to see the gears going. And you said no. They heard what you said. They know what you said. There was no misunderstanding what you said. And you said no. And they do exact opposite at that very moment. You say, come here. Never happened to you, did it? You say, come here. And they go the opposite way. Maybe your child only has part of Anna in them. You know, it's amazing to hear children. Remember my wife's nephews. Their bunk beds were in the room off the living room. And there's a curtain there. And so it wasn't soundproof, and mom and dad were in the living room. And the two kids were talking. You know, they were 6 and 7 years old, or 7 and 8. And one says, I'm going to hell. And the other one says, yep, I'm going too. Nonchalantly. The sinful nature was illustrated in children. But you know, if you have ever witnessed, you also have experienced the sinful nature. And you try to tell someone about Jesus Christ, and they will say, well, any religion is okay. They'll say, I don't want my kids going to church. I don't want anybody forcing religion down their head. They'll say, I'm good enough. Some will say, not interested at all. The Bible says there is none that seeketh after God, no, not one. You know, you and I left ourselves, every one of us would have chosen to reject Jesus Christ. Because there is no one that seeks after God. That is the sinful nature. And when you go out soul winning, young person, you need to think about why people respond the way they do. And we need to think, you know what? I have the same sinful nature they do. I have the same sinful nature they do. Now, just stop right here. Okay? How are we doing? Do we think that way in our daily life? Is that how we think? I believe that most of us don't think that way. We don't put it into the calculation. And it gives us a good insight into the sinful nature, how delusional the sinful nature is. How deceitful it is. How it deceives us. We think, oh, they got a sinful nature. But we don't.
They don't understand the gospel. They should be getting saved. They should want to get saved. But we don't think, oh, I have a sinful nature. Maybe that's why I don't want to live godly. Maybe that's why I don't enjoy going to church. That's why I don't enjoy being around spiritual people. Or, hey, that's why I love the things I do that aren't godly. Why? Sinful nature. It's an uncalculated reality of our lives. Person says, hey, I want to watch that movie. I like movies. I like entertainment. No one's going to tell me not to watch movies. Did you ever calculate that your sinful nature likes movies? Ever calculate that? It's not the Holy Spirit. It's the sinful nature. Sinful nature loves to be entertained. It's not the Holy Spirit that loves to be entertained. It's the sinful nature. In Christianity, it's a matter of your opinion versus your opinion, right? You know what? That thinking is rooted in a neglect of the reality of the sinful nature. Now, let's look at the sinful nature. Let's look at some of the characteristics of the sinful nature. Let's go to Romans 3. A couple glimpses of the sinful nature. You ask the question, why do unsaved people not interested in the gospel? Why do they believe a lie? Why do they take the easy way? Why do they reject the truth? Why do they mock godly people? Why? Because they have a sinful nature, and we do too. Notice what it says, right? Romans 3:10. Verse 11, there is none that understandeth. The sinful heart, mind of man is, the mind of man is darkened to spiritual truth. That's the problem with intellectualism. The greatest intellects of the world have written books about the Bible and have been untouched by the truth that they have written. I have a dictionary in my library, Brown, Driver, and Briggs, Hebrew lexicon. If you would study that lexicon, you would be overwhelmed by the insight to the Word of God of these scholars. Briggs was one of the greatest Christ and Bible denier liberals there was. A tremendous intellect. He did not understand the truth that he was able to put together. The facts, not the truth, the facts. Amazing. There is none that understandeth. No, not one. There's none that seeketh after God. Young person, adult, do you understand what this says? There is, the sinful nature will never seek after God. Will never seek after God. Some people will become religious for their own selfish purposes. But to seek after God, the God of the Bible? To live for God? For God's sake alone? The Bible says there's none that seeketh after God. The Bible says a child left to himself bringeth his mother shame. Why? Because a child left to himself will not seek after God. I heard the story of a foolish Christian couple. And, you know, people believe a lot of foolishness nowadays. And so here was this couple in California. They read some silly book about raising kids. And it was a silly book because this book said, you know, a child will not go to hell until they're confirmed a sinner. And they're not a sinner until they personally choose, they understand, and they can choose to sin. And so this couple, they think, okay, I'm not going to teach my children anything about God. That way, if they die, they won't go to hell. So I'm going to extend, you know, the time frame here. And so they didn't teach their child about God. The Bible says that from a child, from a breath loss, from a baby, a child needs the Word of God. And so they didn't teach this child about God. And at 7 years old, they said to this child, they said, okay, I think it's time now to teach him about God. And so they said to this girl, you know, God created the heavens and earth. And the girl says, maybe, I'll think about that. I'm not so sure about that. She already knew better by age of 7. She knew better than God. She knew better than her parents. Why? Because she's born with a sinful nature. And that sinful nature needs to be influenced to God. The Bible says they're all gone out of the way. They're all gone out of the way. So what is the tendency of man? The tendency of man is not to stay in the straight and narrow. You understand that, guys? That's not the tendency of man. The tendency of man is to go out of the way. You know, the modern Christians, they got all these fancy words, you know. They call it whatever they call it. And as though, you know, this is a terrible thing to go in a straight and narrow way. And there's something unchristian about going in the straight and narrow way. And they need to be freed. Freed, yeah. They are all gone out of the way. That's the tendency of the human nature. And whatever the way is, the human nature wants to get out of that way. You know, the sinful nature, it hates restriction. It hates restriction. The spiritual nature, the Holy Spirit, loves to walk in the narrow way. And it doesn't feel restriction. It doesn't feel restraint. It doesn't feel inhibited. But the sinful nature does. young person, if you're just waiting to get away from those authorities and that control, you better stop and think where that came from. It didn't come from the Spirit of God. It's the mark of the sinful nature. They are gone out of the way. Notice what it says. They are to become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. What do you mean? No one doeth good? No, not one? Yes, that's what the Bible says. Man, in his sinful nature, always does good for the wrong reason. To do good without hope of reward or some earthly benefit or a good opinion of someone else? Man is selfish. And man without Christ, they do good for one reason. For themselves. Not to get thrown in jail. Not to have to pay a fine. Not to suffer embarrassment. Whatever. It's for their own good. You see, that's a sinful nature. Good is to do it for God. Because God is God. We do right because God is God. That's why you do right. The fear of the Lord is why we do right. But the sinful nature, they do right for selfish reasons. Now sometimes you have to take advantage of that. With raising children. But that's the problem. The sinful nature doesn't do right for God alone. They do it for themselves. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues, they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Wow. It tells you where that stuff comes from, doesn't it? The sinful nature. Didn't come from the Holy Spirit. Why do we live in a world of lies and deception? Why? Comes from the sinful nature. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. You know why you wouldn't want to live in the inner city if you didn't have to? Because there is exemplified no fear of God. There is no, or very little, hesitation to pull a trigger, to take a knife, to rob, to harm. Little hesitation. Why? Because the sinful nature has no fear of God, or very little. You know, there's a new brand of Christianity here that's out there. They question everything. And you know, they question everything and find no answers. You know why? Because they're missing the vital ingredient. You know what the vital ingredient is? the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. You see, man has this low view of God. I call it informality. It's actually a low view of God. And that causes people to treat God in a very familiar way. I'm against that. I'm against that. We encourage people to dress up to church for a reason. Because there's someone bigger than us. There's someone bigger than us. And we need to show our humility and understand our humble position before Him. Now, I think you could say that very obviously in a different realm. You can go to many churches today and the women are dressed scandalously. Many times because they never have been taught. But even common sense, they know they're dressing scandalously, and they come to church, and it doesn't bother them. Why? They have a low view of God. Why do they have a low view of God? Because they don't know God. They don't have a fear of God. And the sinful nature does not have the fear of the Lord. The sinful nature is not afraid to scorn and to scoff at holiness and godliness. Not a problem. Question anything. We have a description of the sinful nature. The Bible is telling us that the sinful nature. Is real. In everyone's life. We used to make it simple. I remember a fellow saying, you know why I know bluegrass music is wrong? My flesh likes it. He understood the sinful nature. He's saying, boy, if your flesh likes it, you know what's the key ingredient in your flesh? Sinful nature. Now let's think about the sinful nature. John 3:3. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Why do you need to be born again? We need to be born again because we're in Adam. First Corinthians 15:22, all in Adam, all what? Die. Ye are dead in trespasses and sins. What does it say? It means our mind has been darkened, our understanding is darkened. Our affections have been twisted. Our will has become immobile. Do you ever notice how easy it is for people? You know, when you go down the highway, they say you make 30,000 decisions an hour when you drive. You ever notice how hard it is for people to make spiritual decisions? Ever notice that? And yet life is full of decisions every day. But when it comes to spiritual decisions, when's the last time you made a spiritual decision? I mean a real spiritual decision. We make thousands of them every day. You know, I read the notebooks and the kids say, I ought to, and I cross out the ought to. I say, this isn't a decision. The decision is, I will. Big difference, isn't there? There's a big, huge difference between I ought to and I will. I will is a decision. I ought to is I know that that's what I should do, but I've not decided to do it. How hard is it to make spiritual decisions? I mean, real spiritual decisions. Why? Because the will has been twisted. How many people you talk to and they say, invite them to church. I have a number of people in the past said, I don't ever make promises. I don't want to break them. The biggest liars in all the world. They make promises all the time. But they can't make a promise about spiritual things. Why? Because of the will has been incapacitated by sin. The mind. How about our mind? Can we think straight? We like to think we can. We live. We're Americans. What does it mean when it says their understanding being darkened? It means that our sinful nature cannot understand spiritual truth. And truth is a spiritual reality. How come some get it and some don't? Because the sinful nature never will. Never will. Sinful nature will never get it. Because we're born sinners. And the understanding has been darkened by sin. So we have a problem. We have a problem. We are born with a sinful nature. You know, I find that many times as adults, we get saved and we rejoice that we got saved. But somehow we live as though the existence of the flesh and the sinful nature disappeared. And it has no bearing on us. It has no part of us. You see, the problem with the sinful nature is that it's natural. It's natural. It's not foreign to us. It's natural. It's just there. Now, I think you can illustrate this a number of different ways, but I think we still have the book in the bookstore. If you haven't read, you need to read it. Seven Men That Rule the World from the Grave. How many have read it? Raise your hand. Raise them higher. I can't see well. Getting old. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Whew, man, that's Pastor Hatchett. You've read that, haven't you? Okay. Pastor Jones told you to read that book. I know you don't have to because he preached on the whole book. But, you know what? You know what that book will do if you read it? It'll help you to realize why you think the way you think. You know, most people, all of us, we just kind of think, hey, that's the way I think. Well, I guess that's true. Just the way you think. But why? That book reveals that people think the way they think because of the philosophies that they have heard in their life. Whether it is a philosophy embedded in some kind of teaching, in the public university or in magazines or the liberal press. But our whole society is embedded with these false thinkings and philosophies. Don't you realize every movie is filled with false philosophies?
And Christians think, well, you know, just so long that, you know, the person isn't half naked and they don't swear, must be right. Well, that's bad enough.
But they're filled with philosophies of thinking. And people sit there like, you know, addicted to this machine, you know, and everything just goes right into their brain. There's no control. There's no shutters. There's no stops. There's no weighing anything that they hear or see. You know, it just goes right in there like an empty tub, you know, and sits there for the rest of their life. And they go, oh, that was fun. The sinful nature is real. It's a part of our thinking. And its tendency towards evil makes it an easy reception for error. Makes it an easy reception for error. And because of its nature, it makes it, on the opposite way, it makes it a spiritual battle to receive truth. And it's true, isn't it? Illustrate it. Okay? Most men could tell you the first time in their life they saw an immoral picture. Whether it was 50 years ago or 10 years ago. We have a quiz on Monday in Bible class of what this message was about. Less than 24 hours previous. And you know, there's some kids that say, I can't remember. Now, I understand that, because sometimes I can't remember what I preached 2 weeks ago either, without thinking. But isn't it amazing how quickly we can forget that which is good, and how indelibly imprinted on our mind is that which is evil? Why? Because we are born with a sinful nature. Spiritual reality that every one of us need to come to grips with. You're out there and you say, you know, you can imagine this. You imagine a 7-year-old saying to mom and dad, and they say, now, the Bible says God created the heavens and the earth. And this 7-year-old girl says, I'll think about it. I don't know, where's Miss Myers, okay? First and second grade teacher. Do first and second graders ever try to tell you that they know more than you? Amazing. Amazing. First and second graders having the idea that they know so much better than the teacher, and they are going to tell the teacher. Inform the teacher. You know what that's called? Guess what that's called? What do you think that's called, David? The sinful nature. Here's a teenager. They decided they know better than Dad. They know better. You just wait till I get out of here, boy. I got it all figured out. Yeah, you sure do. That's a sinful nature for sure. Sinful nature is prone to evil, resistant to good. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And you say, how could all these things be? You know why it is? Because the sinful nature is deceitful. Now I'm going to ask you a simple question. Okay? Colin, answer the question. Okay? If you know someone is deceiving you, are you deceived? No. It isn't. You aren't being deceived if you know you're being deceived. You're deceived when you don't think you're being deceived. Amen? The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Our sinful nature says, oh, this isn't the sinful nature. I think he's perfectly right. Nothing wrong with me. Right, exactly. The sinful nature is deceptive. And it lies, the number one person it lies to is you and I, ourselves. So let's think about the sinful nature. What do we need? What do we need? We need the Spirit of God. Well, let's go back. We need salvation. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. And as you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. There's a new creation. The curse of the law, the image of Christ, the image of God that was lost in the fall. There is a somewhat of a restoration of that which was lost in the fall when man comes to Jesus Christ. You must be born again. There is a need for a new birth. A new birth. A regeneration, the Bible calls it. The illumination of our understanding. The quickening of our will. I will write their law in their hearts. A redirection of the affections. That's a new birth. You see, the sinful nature loves that which is evil. and it resists and is uncomfortable with that which is good and holy. But in the new birth, there's a new heart. A heart, a life that's created in righteousness and true holiness. A heart that is drawn to righteousness, drawn to holiness, drawn to that which is good. We need to be born again. You know, a person's not born again. They're not going to stay in the straight and narrow. It's impossible. They chafe at the straight and narrow. They resist the straight and narrow. They're under pressure. Why? Because, you know, ever try to have a dog act like a cat? Boy, it's hard. You know, you got a cat, and you want this cat to be, you know, you want this cat to be like a dog. Hey, cats are cats. Cats are independent things. You know, when you want to pet them, they don't want to be petted. They want to be petted when they want it. Besides, and then, and now a dog, now they like to be petted. But a cat, not a chance, not unless they want to be. They're as independent as a cat. Why? Because they're a cat. And you know what? If you're not born again, tell you what, it's restriction. It's chafing. It's narrowness. Man needs the Spirit of God working in their life. You might have all sorts of religion, but let me tell you what. Is in your soul the spirit of chafing? In your soul, is there that spirit of restriction? I just can't wait to get and do my own thing. That's not of the Spirit of God, that's of the flesh. The Spirit of God delights in the law of God. The Spirit of God delights in His law. The Spirit of God delights in fellowship with the Holy God. We need a new birth. We need the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We need the ministry of the Holy Spirit. David says, quicken thou me. David says, open mine eyes. He pleads for the illumination of God in his life. We need the Spirit of God. You know, normative Christianity has become intellectualism. I never forget the day I talked to Dr. Peterson, 1990. He was a professor at Detroit Seminary. And he said, Ron, they have everything so figured out here. There's no room for the Holy Spirit. And history has proven that is true. The Word of God is the Holy Word of God, but it needs to be illuminated to our mind by the Spirit of God. We need God's work in our life. Parent, do you realize that your child has a sinful nature? Don't allow things in your life, in their lives, that feed that sinful nature. Don't allow things in their lives that feed that sinful nature. You know, I can't. I probably. You know, this whole cell phone, video, texting, entertainment, games. It all feeds the sinful nature. It's just feeding it. Young person, there's a multitude of things that are out there ready to feed your sinful nature. And your sinful nature will delight in it. And it'll draw you further and further from God. And it doesn't have to be something that's inherently sinful. But the sinful nature is weak. It's spiritually weak. It's real weak. The Bible says, the fool hath no delight but that his soul may discover itself. It's talking about the curiosity of the sinful nature and desiring all this stuff as though you're deprived in life if you don't have this and this and this and this and this. But all we really need, godliness with contentment, is great gain. We need to see ourselves as a sinner. We need to see how much we need the influence of the Spirit of God and the Word of God. As I was preparing this message, I was thinking, Ron, you know, you need to be reading the Bible a whole lot more than you're reading it. I think the story of Harry Ironside, I think he was converted at 14. I'm probably going to get the story mixed up, but it'd be close. By the time he was 18, he had read the Bible 14 times. We need the influence of the Spirit of God on our lives. You know, we aren't going to have Christian thinking until we fill our mind with the truths of the Bible. And we aren't going to have the truths of the Bible in our mind until we have read and know the Bible well enough to be able to meditate on its truths and put them together in our soul and in our mind. A casual reading and casual knowledge of the Bible does very little to infiltrate a mind that has lived in this sinful, wicked world. There's more garbage to filter out than ever before. And there is an attitude, worse than ever before, that says, I only need hot dog devotions. You know what I mean? Hot dog devotions. A little dab of do ya. As though we aren't in a spiritual battle. We are. And the sad thing is, because we have a sinful nature, we read our Bible and we say, well, I got to do this, but I got to get it done. Got to get it over with. And praise the Lord, if you read your Bible, I realize that we don't live in a day in which there's a vast majority of Christians that never even think about doing it. But praise the Lord if you read your Bible. But you know, most of the time we read our Bible and that's all we do. We don't look at it and say, hey, you know what, I'm a sinner. I need the Spirit of God to minister to my mind. I've been raised in a sinful world with sinful philosophies. I need to get those out of my life. But you know what? We don't think that way because the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. We need to put into our calculation this sinful nature. Those precious little children have a sinful nature. And unless it is dealt with, unless it is a prime part of the calculation, that sinful nature will ruin that child. Will ruin that life. Man left to himself will bring his mother shame. Because we are born with a sinful nature. No wonder Jesus said the kingdom of God is of those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. The kingdom of God is those who are poor in spirit. They see themselves as who we are, our need. We put into the calculation the sinful nature. I guess there's a lot of ways we could apply this tonight. But you know, young person, you have a sinful nature. Your sinful nature is going to enjoy that which is wrong. It's going to be magnetized, addicted to wrong things, if it allowed to take place. The sinful nature is incredibly wicked and sinful. We need God's intervention in our life. We need His Word. We need the ministry of the Spirit of God. We need chastisement. To learn our lessons of error. We need the grace of God. We need God's intervention. Man left himself will gladly choose to go to hell. Man left himself will go downward. No matter what the opportunity. Man left to himself will reject the truth. Man left to himself will not recognize truth. We're born sinners. All that we have that is good is in Christ. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. If ye be risen with Christ, then seek those things which are above. Let's put into our calculations the fact that we're sinners. Let's apply that to the things that we like, that we don't want to give up, that are hindering our spiritual growth, and realize why we like them. Look at our opinions and see why our opinions are so different from godly people of the past and even of the present. As we read our Bible tomorrow, remember how much we need the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. How much we need God's Word. How much we need it, the Spirit of God, to illuminate it to our lives. If we've grown cold, it's not because of the Spirit of God. We could begin feeding the old nature. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for these truths. Lord, truths that every one of us need to be reminded of. Lord, every parent needs to see that precious child as a sinner with the hugest potential for evil. If left alone or allowed to stir that sinful nature, to be stirred and fed by the evil of this world. Lord, I pray that you give us that spirit of humility tonight that realizes the greatest battle of life rages right within our own hearts. And the number one reason that Christians fail is right within themselves, a sinful nature. Lord, I pray this truth would be a help, a freeing of souls from wrong thinking, as real as they might be in their lives, to identify, to bring the thought into captivity into Christ, to Christ, and to identify it, and to confess it, and to turn from it. And yet, Lord, in the midst of all this, we know, Lord, that it's only your Spirit that can do the work. Might you do it, Lord? Oh, Lord, pray that you will work in our lives. The Word of God did not fall on the wayside today, but there might be a real effect of thy word in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. First, we get an invitation tonight.